Tonight is the art site, ninth art site of my mother, Aleha Shalom Yehudis Bas Shlomo. This shir is Lezecher Nishmasa. Lezecher Nishmas, Dr. Lederach's final as well. And I appreciate your indulgence in having the shir this week on Monday instead of Thursday, so we can coordinate the right timing. There's a sefer called Sukkot Shalom, author by Reb Elia Guttmacher, where he discusses various ways of achieving an aliyah for neshama. So he writes that the penultimate way of doing so is engaging in Talmud Torah Barabim. The ultimate form is engaging in Talmud Torah Barabim between Mincha Maariv, so you can join together the day and the night in Talmud Torah. But any Talmud Torah Barabim is a appropriate way to effect an aliyah for the neshama. The topic that we'll talk about tonight, related to this week's Sedra, is certain contemporary applications of Mila Docha Shabbos or Mila Nat Docha Shabbos. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos, and Dach Kuf Lamaveiz Amid Aleph, Ubayom Ashmini Yimol Besor Alasso, the Pasuk beginning of Parshas Tazria, the Gemara Darshan Tafila B'Shabbos, that under normal circumstances, a Mila Bismana is performed on Shabbos. The Gemara and Dach Kuf Lamed Hey Amid Aleph and Shabbos has various exceptions. The Gemara is a Drasha of Orlasa Vade Docha Shabbos Velo Orlasa Safik. It has to be a Vade Orla. It has to be someone who's not Nolad Mohol, not Nolad Ben Shmashos, not Safik. So various forms of Safik are not Docha Shabbos. Then the Gemara has, towards the bottom of the Amud, one suggestion that you also require Kol Shein Imo Tmei Aleda. In order to be Docha Shabbos, the birth has to be the type of birth that is going to render a mother with Tumas Yoledes, to the exclusion of what? So Rashi points out, to the exclusion of a Yotzei Dofen, if a baby is born through what we call nowadays a cesarean section, that doesn't create Tumas Leda, and that is therefore not Docha Shabbos. That's what we paskin in Simen Resh Samech Vav in Yerodea, on the fourth page of the handout here, or fifth page, or sixth page. Yerodea Simen Resh Samech Vav Se'if Yud. Katan Shanola Kishu Mahol, Mishi Yeshlo Shdei Orlos, Androgynous V'yotzei Dofen. These are all not Docha Shabbos. Fine. So there's a discussion among poskim of the last generation or two as to whether the product of artificial insemination or in vitro fertilization would be Docha Shabbos if such a baby is born on Shabbos. What's a Hava Minanat? What does that have to do with anything? So this is based on a comment of Rabbeinu Chananel on a Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara on the bottom of Yedalet Amabez in Chagiga has the following discussion. If you take a look on the second page of the handout, Shalus Ben Zoma, the bottom line, Besula She'ibra Mahu L'Kohen Gadol. So what happens if you have a Besula that becomes pregnant? Immaculate conception. So what's the status of such a woman, L'Kohen Gadol? L'Kohen Gadol is only allowed to marry a Besula. So Michashina Lidishmuel, Damir Shmuel, Yachalini Livel Kama Vilas below Dam. So perhaps Shmuel had a statement that it's possible to be bowl in such a way that the woman is still left a Besula. You could be bowl without getting rid of the Besula. So that would be considered a Be'ila, that would render her halachically no longer a Besul, and therefore a Suwa L'Kohen Gadol. So Rabbi Choshesh, maybe in this situation, even though she has the appearance of being a Besula physically, but she was Nivala, and therefore would be a Suwa L'Kohen Gadol, a Dilma d'Shmuel lo Shchicha. Or maybe that's not something we have to take into consideration. So Amar lo d'Shmuel lo Shchiach, v'chashinan, so if Shmuel lo Shchiach, if it's not Shchiach to be Bo'al b'hataya, so then how did this woman get pregnant? V'chashinan shema ban ba'ati ibra. So we're concerned that maybe she was in a bath and there was some zera that had previously been released into the bath and somehow that impregnated her. Okay. So the Gemara seems to be simply asking a question about the status of such a woman, L'Kohen Gadol, is she considered halachically a Besula or a Be'ula? However, there is a comment of Rabbeinu Chananel on Daf, it's printed on the side of Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, here in the Gemara. Rabbeinu Chananel has the following analysis. I'm just skipping into the middle. What is the side of the Gemara that Shema Bambati Ibra? It's That's about 20 lines down on the short lines. Rabbeinu Chanan al Tesayinim and Aleph. Perish Isha. Harash and Nivdaka v'nim says Basula. If you have a pregnant woman who was checked and you find that her Basulim are still there, Mi Armin and Mivia Nisabra Kishmul, do we say that there still was Bia? Vareni Kariba Isha Kisas Ria V'yalda Zachar. V'tama V'chayavas Karin Leda. Adilma, Amor Bambati, Shamberkas and Sabra, could go and Shayarit Ishbo Sambati, Upaz Shechwazera, Viarda, Isha, the Kirvabos, Satipa Shechwazera, the Nifnis of a Sakh Rachma, and his Abra, the Zem, Maisanizimhu, that would be miraculous. The Aina Tamea Leda, and she would not be Tamea Leda, Shain Anikari Ba, Isha, Ki Sazria. So because that is a product of Maisa Nisim, she is not Tamea Leda, not Bechlal Isha, Ki Sazria. So Shalom Zaman, in a groundbreaking article first published in Noam, a Torah journal in the 1960s, raised a question based on this Rabbeinu Chananel, what would you say of the product of artificial insemination, where, then maybe that's the halachic equivalent of nolad bambati. So would you say that that is what the Rabbeinu Chananel terms maisa nisim, and therefore doesn't create tumas leida, and then by extension, without tumas leida, just like Yosef Fen isn't docha Shabbos, then the product of AI would not be docha Shabbos either. So Rishlama Zamin's suffix is, what is the ikur nekuda in Rabbeinu Chananel? Is it that it's a maisa nisim, and artificial insemination, and then, this is before IVF, but then IVF by extension also, not a maisa nisim, it's a maisa b'chol yom, it's amazing, but it's not miraculous. Or is the emphasis that on the Isha Ki Sazria, that in order to create Tumas Leda, you have to have a situation where the woman is the cause of the Zera. That's Isha Ki Sazria. So if the Zera is released, no connection to the woman, so then that's what doesn't create Tumas Leda. So Shlomo Zalman says that's a suffix. He's note lahachmir that you couldn't do such a milah on Shabbos, and that's what the Pesukim, the Svarim, quote in the name of Shlomo Zalman, that he was machmir on this shayla based on the suffix and how to read Rabbeinu Chananel. So it was quoted b'shem Rav Yashiv, and the Rav Shechter is choshesh for this. Rabbi Willer thinks he should be choshesh as well. So if you take that approach, then if you had a situation of the product of AI or IVF where there would be Yom Shmini would be on Shabbos, so it presumably could be a Mishana of Bnei HaShalom, and if people ask why you do the meal on Shabbos, so you tell them that the bilirubin count is too high, or some other, I'm sorry? Or a C-section might be a little bit more difficult to fake. But there are many reasons that Mila could be pushed off. That's not such an issue. What do all Pesukim agree to this? So there's a tshuva in Yabia Omer, Rav Avadya, Yabia Omer, Chelek Zayin, Yaredeya, Simen, Kafdalid, Chelek Zayin, Simen, Kafdalid, Yaredeya. So Rav Avadya doesn't think that you should take Rabbeinu Chananel to this extent. That's not the Pashup Shat in Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel is talking about Nisabra Bambati. So Mechad Heisi to extend Rabbeinu Chananel beyond the original case of Nisabra Bambati. So Rav Avadya thinks that there's no reason not to be mal the product of an IVF baby on Shabbos if it's a Mila Bismanim. So says in print Rav Vosner, Shevet Alevi, Chelek Tes, Simen Reish Tes, Chelek Tes, Simen Reish Tes. He says there's no suffix whatsoever. It's Pasha that you'd be mal such a baby on Shabbos. There's a website, Tvuna, that has various psakim of Rav Asher Weiss, written by, I guess, some of his own, but a lot are written by Talmidim, or members of the Kola there. So there's a brief piece there on this topic, who quotes Rav Asher Weiss, also as Mekel. He thinks that Rabbeinu Chananel, anyway, says Shitas Yachid. None of the other Rishonim explain the Gemara that way. And even if we want to be Choshesh Rabbeinu Chananel, in this context, it's far from clear that Rabbeinu Chananel would apply to this kind of a situation. Rabbeinu Chananel's Kavana is probably to something that is, even if it's not miraculous in the absolute sense, but something which is not a normal procedure. And nowadays, these procedures are...
But Safik Derisa, why would you be make a lot of Safik Derisa? Just put it off, push it off one day, and it would
be possible
Safik.
So it is, so in one direction, the Safik Derisa, and the other in the other direction, if it's if you're not bothered, you're dealing with a one sheet in Gaonim and three possible interpretations of what that sheet is. So you assume that we
have
a sheet. And you also have a suffix that Mila Bismana is you may violate a Chiv Karis if you push it off a day. So there is a counterbalancing consideration. So if you're not bothered by this, meaning we're not every time you find a day of a Gaon or Rishon, we add that into a Safek D'Oraisa, and so that's a calculation. Rav Elazar v'Avadya don't seem to be bothered by this at all. I asked Rabbi Pinchas Kasson to see what his practice is. So he said that the Rabbanim and Broyers allow for Mila to be performed for this kind of a baby on Shabbos without question, and he once discussed it with Rav David Feinstein, and Rav David also said the same thing. Rav David is aware of Shlomo Zalman's Safek, but Rav David paskened that you could be Mila the baby on Shabbos without question. So there does seem to be a dispute among poskim about this issue, and there seem to be various practices among Molim as well. To what extent to be Choshesh? Do you ever ask the question? Do you ask the question if there are Reglaim Ladavar to suspect that the baby may have been conceived through some assisted reproductive means? Or do you always ask the question? So I'm not aware of any Moel that, maybe there are, that always ask the question, although if you're Choshesh, maybe you should. So this is an issue that contemporary poskim and molim deal with. If you look back there in Shulchan Aruch Siman Beis Samach Vav once again, in Se'if Yud Beis, and Bechavi writes the following: Yisrael Shehimir Vinola Lo Ben Miyisraelis. So a Yisrael, a Jew, shmadid, and he's married to a Jewish woman, and they have a child. Malinoso b'Shabbos. So the Mila is performed on Shabbos. What's the Havamina not? Why we would have thought otherwise? So what it sounds like in the Torah is you may have thought that either he's somehow Yosei Mechlal Amcha, that we don't treat this mummer as a regular Jew, and somehow that would carry over to the child. So the presentation in the Torah is that, well, over here, since the mother is Yisrael, it sounds like not a Mumera, so we are reasonably confident, or at least there's the possibility, that the kids are going to turn out all right, and that somehow affects the equation as well. The Beis Yosef in the Bedek HaBayis there says even if the mother's a Mumeres, bottom line, the kid's Jewish. So what difference does it make if the parents are Mumim? Bottom line, the kid is Jewish. The Jewish Mila is Doch HaShabbos Bayom Hashmini. If you look here in the Shach, in Sivkat and Tezayin, the Shach isn't so sure about that application. He wonders whether, in fact, the product of a Mumer and Mumeris should be Docha Shabbos. It sounds like maybe if the child's not going to be raised Jewishly, then we shouldn't be Docha Shabbos on his behalf. We'll come back to that in a few moments. There is a comment of Rabbi Kivegu here, which is based on a Drisha and Prisha. Kivegu writes in the bottom over here on Sif Yud Beis, L'chora gam ben nachrisha holid miyisraelis malinos of Shabbos. The same should be true by a non-Jewish father and a Jewish mother that you do the Mila on Shabbos. After all, the kid is Jewish. The kid is Jewish, Mila is docha Shabbos. Ulam l'mashakasa marsha kidushin. So this we discussed in our Evan Ezer Shirim. There is a potentially day in Rishonim, Tosas, and maybe Rashi in Kedushim and Daf Ayin Hey. The Gemara there says, Machlokech Tanoim, what's the status of the product of Evan of Akam above Bas Yisrael? If you have a Jewish mother and a non-Jewish father, is the child a mamzer? Is the child kasher? So we pass on the child as kasher. But there is a possibility we've shown him, the child is kosher, meaning not a mamzer, but still requires a geirus. So Kivayi is saying, according to that position, so then the child's not fully Jewish. If the child's not fully Jewish, it shouldn't be docha Shabbos. So I had this shaila someone asked a couple of years ago, situation where there was a non-Jewish father, Jewish mother. The Jewish mother's family was still connected to her and wanted to ensure that there would be a proper halachic mila, and Yom HaShemini was Shabbos. So are we really choshish for this, Rabbi Kivegur, and the Drisha that we're choshish for that position, then maybe the child's not fully Jewish. So even though there are the Piskei Tshuva there at the beginning of Ibn Ezer, some Dalit, I think, quotes the Noda Behuda and some other Achronim of our choshish, generally speaking, we're not choshish for that position under most circumstances. We don't require that the kid be Megayer. So then it should follow that the Mila should be done by Yom HaShmini in a situation in which it's feasible. In most cases where you have a non-Jewish father, no one's asking the Mole to do a Mila on Shabbos. But in that rare case where it may come up, so as I discussed with Rabbi Willig at the time, he thought the Mila should be done, even though some of the later poskim seem to take into consideration this comment of the Prisha and the Kivager and others. There's a Tshuva in the Binyan Tzion, Chelek Aleph Siman Kaf Aleph, in which he analyzes this and assumes as Davar Pasha, the bottom line, the kid is Jewish, and since the kid is Jewish, the Mila would be Docha Shabbos. A lot of the poskim in the last generation discuss a related issue, so even if we paskin in Shulchan Aruch that the product of a Mumrin or Yisraelis, or maybe even a Mumrin or Mumeres, would be, you'd be mal the child on Shabbos, but what about a situation in which there's going to be massive Chilul Shabbos associated with the Bris Mila? So many poskim in the last generation are asked, the Mohel is called upon to do a Bris by Yom HaShmini of Mechal Shabbos. So they're going to be driving there, they're going to be cooking, they're going to be, in the 1950s, smoking. So in those situations, is that appropriate for the Mohel to come and do the Mila on Shabbos? So most of the poskim who address this assume that, yeah, the Mohel should do the meal on Shabbos, even if there's going to be some associated Chil Shabbos. So Tzitz Eliezer, for example, Chelek Vav, Simen Gimel, the Shoel who asked in the Shaila wanted to argue, maybe there's some analogy to Xavier the Rabba, just like we push off Megillah and Shofar and Lulav, Shema Yavirenu Dalet Amos, Birshus Saravim. So maybe here also, if the Mila is going to lead to Chil Shabbos, maybe we should push off the Mila until Sunday. So the Tzitz Eliezer answers, they're not comparable. Number one, the situations where we talk about Xavier the Rabba is where the Malacha is involved in the actual performance of the mitzvah. We're worried that you're going to go to the Bucky carrying the Shofar B'Shus HaRabim in order to perform the mitzvah. Here, the Mole is not the one being B'Chal Shabbos, the one performing the mitzvah is not being B'Chal Shabbos. We're worried about ancillary Chil Shabbos by other people who parenthetically may be B'Chal Shabbos anywhere somewhere else if they weren't here, but they're not associated with, or they're not the ones performing the mitzvah. So he thinks that Xer the Rabbah doesn't apply for that reason. Number two,
unless one of the people B'Chal Shabbos is like the Sadek. He drove there to be the Sadek.
Right, but he's not. So he's not doing the Maisa Mila. Okay. Then he points out the famous principle of the Taz that Chachamim don't have the right to be gozer to be mafkia something that the Torah is matir b'feirish, and here the Torah is matir b'feirish gzeres hakasev b'yom hashmini even m'shabbos. Other considerations as well. There's a tshuva Dayan Weiss Minchas Yitzchak Chela Gimel Simen Lamed Hey. Where he has an additional argument. He says, what's going to happen? So you're going to push off the Mila and not do it until Sunday. So people may get the impression that you don't have to do a Mila by Yom HaShmini. So if you're pushing off this Mila from the Yom HaShmini, you can push off another Mila. So especially people who aren't so observant, that's the clientele we're talking about, the Mechal Shabbos, so they're going to think that Yom HaShmini isn't that important. So if you're not going to do it on Shabbos for them, then they won't do a Mila Yom HaShmini even if it's Tuesday. And what's going to happen if you don't go? So the Frum Mohel was asked to do the Bris and it'll decline. He's not going to go. So then they're going to get the conservative Mohel. So then they'll have a conservative Mohel and he won't do a proper Mila. So it's in the collective interest of Klai Yisrael to make sure that the Mila is done properly by Yom HaShmini, by a proper Mohel. Even if it's going to be ancillary Chil Shabbos, that's not the concern of the Mohel. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Very brief tshuva, Chelek Aleph Yerodea Simen Kuf Nun Vav, Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Nun Vav. Rav Moshe writes that the Mohel definitely should do the Mila, but he should try to make a quick exit. If he's going to be there, and then as soon as the Mila's over, people are going to be having their barbecue, and cooking, and smoking, and doing whatever they're doing, so then you should do your best not to be party to them, not to be present. You do the Mila, you cut and run, and don't hang out more than you need to.
You mentioned before in terms of that there was a side to say that in the case of where the Mumer,
right,
the Mumeris,
right,
maybe because of the Mechal Shabbos, we should be Mechal
Shabbos. Right.
I mean, the same throw applies over here. And I was going to ask over here. I mean, isn't it there because of both cases?
Yeah.
And who cares? Where does it come into play? And then, why they
right. So bottom line, so it's difficult to understand if push comes to shove. It's difficult to understand what the real basis of that shita would be. The bottom line, the kids of Israel. So if their mom is Sefer Bris, Rabbi Piritinsky, quotes from a Yaivitz. Sefer Bris is the authoritative Kitzur Sefer in Hilchas Mila. So he quotes from the Yaivitz that even though in general you should do a Mila for the kid of a Mormon or Mumeris, but if they're Mamish practicing Christians, so then he thinks he shouldn't. Or the Marsham discusses, he rejects it, but he quotes the Marsham that, well, why don't you say the Mechal Shabbos is the Mormon Bechal Torah Kula? If he's the Mormon Bechal Torah Kula, so then he's not Bechal any of the mitzvahs. So the Marsham says, according to many posts, that's only a Dindra Rabban. Anyway, that status of Mormon Bechal Torah Kula, and since we're talking about the kids, so shouldn't be Machmir or take that position not to do the Mila on Shabbos. So you're right, it's a little bit difficult to understand the bottom line of that shita that you wouldn't do the Mila. There's a discussion in the Shachos here, the Beis Yosef has it, about Karoyim. That was the issue in the period of the early Rishonim, especially in Egypt. Do you do the Mila for the kid of a Karoy on Shabbos? So the Shach quotes, the Beis Yosef quoted, that depends whether they're like for Brenta Karaim or friendly people. If they're like very Beshita Karaim, so then don't get involved. But if they have good relations with you, they just happen to have their funny shitos about Torah Shabbat Al-Peh, so then you could do the Mila for them on Shabbos. Our Rav Avadia has a tshuva, Chelek Yud Yabi Omer Orachayim Simen Lamed Beis, Chelek Yud Yabi Omer Orachayim Simen Lamed Beis, in which first he goes through all the reasons that you should do the meal on Shabbos, even for Mechal Shabbos. But then he entertains the possibility that sometimes the Beis Din, not even the formal Beis Din, can be Oker Dover, or Gozer Dover, Lemigdar Milsa. So he allows for the possibility that if the Rabbanim think that there's going to be some Migdar Milsa consideration, that for public policy considerations, it's better not to do the meal on Shabbos, so then they would have license to make that determination for their community as appropriate. Rabbi Avadia Yosef Toledano, and Rabbi Avadia's grandchildren, who I have a little bit of relationship with, has an essay on that Tfuna website, which he also quotes from his grandfather. He didn't see it in that Shuvah, but he quotes from his grandfather as well, that at the same time, it's difficult to paskin or to instruct people to do a milsa d'tmiya. In the eyes of the world, Mila b'yom shmini zocher Shabbos, without other than the qualifications that we mentioned, but generally speaking, Mila b'yom shmini, Mila b'zman zocher Shabbos. So to start paskening for certain communities or certain clientele that is not going to be zocher Shabbos, that would cause the masses to wonder, to be confused, and that's not a good idea.
But what if they live? What if people live like in Ashkosh or whatever? Like, you can have some Shabbos there by them.
Yes, so if that's the Minchas Yitzchak rights, if it's possible to find appropriate accommodations, so then the Moel should be Mevatel, his own Shabbos, which is only a Dinder Rabbanan, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Mila, which is a Dinder Raisa. So if it's impossible, there's nowhere you could stay, then fine. But even if it's going to be uncomfortable accommodations, he says, even if you can't get the proper kosher food or have the proper food the Shabbos, that's only Onek Shabbos, which is more kal than the consequences of not doing a Mila. That's what he argues. Does anyone take a contrary position? Does anyone think Lemaisa not to do the Mila for Mechal Shabbos on Shabbos? So Rav Vosner has a couple of tshuvas in print, in which he writes that the Mohel shouldn't, or at least the Mohel has the right not to, perhaps shouldn't. Chelek Dalet Shevet Alevi Simen Kuf Lamed Dalet, Chelek Dalet Simen Kuf Lamed Dalet. But I saw an article in Tchumin, Volume Lamed Dalet, that's the journal that Machon Tzomah puts out every year. Now they're in the basement here. So Tchumin Lamed Dalet is an article written by a Rabbi Yeshua Wiesinger. Says that he's from or affiliated with Merkaz Arav. I don't know who he is, but he quotes there, he analyzes this issue, And he quotes that even though Rav Elsner in print says that you have the right to or you shouldn't do the milah on Shabbos, he spoke to Rav Simcha Cook, the chief rabbi of Rehovot, who relayed that Rav Elsner instructed him that they should do milah for Mechale Shabbos on Shabbos, and that's a practice in Rehovot, that they do milah for Mechale Shabbos on Shabbos. So as a practical matter, it seems that the general consensus of poskim is that when it comes to the question of Mechale Shabbos, so even if there's going to be Chil Shabbos involved, the milah should be done on Shabbos. The Minchas Yitzchak has another kind of ad absurdum argument that if you're going to be worried for any Chil Shabbos that's associated with the performance of the mitzvah, so then maybe you should close up your shuls. You shouldn't, at least the Chutz La'aretz, you shouldn't daven b'tzibur on Shabbos because maybe someone's going to drive the shul. So if you're worried that having performing a mitzvah is going to lead to Chil Shabbos in some fashion, so close up all the shuls and then no one's going to drive to shul on Shabbos. So that's obviously not the common practice. So he assumes that as most of the posts can address this, we're not so concerned about the potential Chil Shabbos that we're concerned it shouldn't happen. We should do what we can to avoid it or to tell people not to, but that's not a reason to not perform a milah b'zman on Shabbos.